100.9 FM, 1570 AM, WOKC. Okeechobee's True Country and your hometown radio station since 1962. All right, gives me a pleasure to introduce to you Roger Garrison and Chris Quisenberry with the band Saddle Tramp. Good morning, fellas. How you doing today?
Good morning, Bill.
Doing good, doing good.
We're doing all right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
I'm trying to shake the nerves a little bit.
Feel like I'm on the hopper here, so.
There's only 5 or 6 people listening, man.
Yeah, right.
Maybe 500 or 600. I don't know.
We hope so.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I want to thank you guys for coming in today and being our guest on the second episode of Billy's Back Porch. Who's the oldest?
That would be Roger.
Roger, okay. Yeah. We're gonna let the senior citizen go first.
Oh,
All right. Basically, wanted to, reason we're doing this, like we did with Wayne and Mitch, is to introduce y'all to folks that have no idea who you are and the group you play with. And talk about, and as I mentioned when I thought about the idea for Billy's Back Porch, there's so many wonderful artists in Okeechobee, right here in our own backyard. And I noticed your band's been around since 03, but as I talked to you boys a couple of days ago, y'all come from a very close section of the country. You grew up within 70 miles of each other. And first of all, Roger, where are you from?
Moundsville, West Virginia.
Moundsville. How about you, Chris?
I'm from Marietta, Ohio.
And am I right? You said the other night when we were talking, this is around 70 miles apart?
Yeah, about an hour.
Did y'all ever, did your paths ever cross when you were growing up in those areas?
Not that we know of. Now, we think we might have played ball against each other in high school or something, maybe, you know?
Absolutely. I guarantee we did.
Yeah.
You kind of walk like you.
Could be. One leg not shorter than the other.
Yeah. Before we talk about your early days, let's talk about the band a little bit. I want to make sure. And the members of the band right now are?
Well, me and Chris.
Mm-hmm.
Greg Douglas, our keyboard player.
Okay.
He's our band leader.
Yeah, he is the boss, man.
He's the boss. He has to deal with all the bookings and, you know. And Joe Sammons, been here in Okeechobee Always Live, bass player.
Mm-hmm.
And a guy named Frankie Lucer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Frankie Lucer, yeah.
Retired police officer out of Nashville and moved down here. I don't know how long ago. He'd been with us, about
6 months.
6 months or so, yeah.
Y'all going to be playing anywhere anytime next couple of weeks that you know on the calendar?
Yeah, we'll be here. We'll be playing at the Brahma Bull.
Okay.
Saturday night.
This Saturday night, October 3rd? I mean, October 2nd, rather.
October 2nd.
9 to 1, that's your usual time interval?
9 to 1.
Great place to play. Bull's been hosting bands for many, many many years.
Yep.
All right, let's talk about your early musical influence, man. Roger, who taught you? Who got you into music in the first place? Maybe taught you. By the way, these both guys are guitar players, and we'll talk about that a little bit.
Well, my whole family plays. Back to my grandfather, my dad, all his brothers, they had bands back in their day, you know, played all over. Back home, I just kind of grew up with it, you know. Everybody in the family plays something. It doesn't matter if it's got strings or something, you know, somebody in the family played it. Just kind of grew up with it, and Dad got me started a little bit.
How old were you when you started picking?
I'm going to say I was a little fella, man, 8, 9, 10 years old, somewhere around there. I can't remember, really. Always had music instruments around the house all the time. I mean, you know, you grow up with amplifiers at coffee tables and speakers in the living room, you know, recording stuff. And so Dad get me started, show me some chords, this and that, and you know, he'd show you a couple, I think, like I said the other day, I think he'd show you a couple chords, and he'd write them down on a piece of paper, and, okay, go learn those three. And then I think it was like, okay, that'll keep him busy for a while, and I'd stay in my bedroom all night, learn those chords, you know, and I'd come back the next day, and he'd, well, show me. And, you know, I'd play those chords, all right, here's three more, go learn that, you know. And so it just kind of evolved that way, you know. My Uncle Mark, Dad's youngest brother, really great guitar player, and my Uncle Jerry played pedal steel, so those guys just always being around music all the time, you know, music going on in the house constant.
Yeah.
Just
with country music being played in your house all the time?
All the time.
Yeah.
All the time. It was country music. Them guys were, you know, they wasn't playing music, they were talking about music. If they, you know, they were listening to music, or maybe they was recording stuff, who knows, you know, there's always something going on, or, you know, always somebody there around the house. And if it wasn't that, it was down at my grandma and grandpap Garrison's house.
Uh-huh.
My Uncle Mark stayed, and go down there and listen to them. They'd be out picking, you know, maybe out on the back porch or family reunion or, you know, anything, anything like that. But just, and I'd be mesmerized, you know, they'd be playing and I'd sit there and watching. And I think my Uncle Mark actually gave me my first real guitar. When I was little, I had some kind of one of those little plastic, you know, little kid guitar or something. And was there for Christmas one day, and he gave me an old Stella Harmony, old acoustic guitar that grandma had bought him when he was little. And, that's pretty much what I learned to play on. I had that thing up way till I was in high school. Don't know whatever happened to it, but so.
What do you play now? What, as far as acoustic guitar you play?
I have a Taylor now that I'm playing. Okay. Yeah.
You normally you normally play electric in the band, right?
Yes, sir.
I got you.
Yes, sir.
All right. How about you, Chris, man? How'd you get started in the music?
Well, just like Roger, I mean, my whole family, we're all music oriented. My dad, you know, he, in the 60s, you know, when he was in high school, he was in a rock band and played guitar. And when he got married and everything, my mom, she's a singer. And my sister, she was a really good rock and roll type singer. My brother, he's a real good guitar player. And I was just kind of the guy in the family that wanted to do everything, but didn't want to take lessons.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't want to take the time to take the lessons. So I wanted the fast track. Mm-hmm. You know, I just wanted to be Eddie Van Halen overnight.
Yeah.
You know?
Bust off some Eruption.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And never had a lesson. I mean, everything I do, and I'm not very good at it, but I taught myself everything I do. I mean, including the singing part. I just started singing with the radio.
Right.
And you know, that's pretty much it. My whole family, like I said, when I grew up in Ohio, and we just every Saturday or every Sunday, like I was telling you the other night, every Sunday, you didn't turn the TV on.
Right.
And so I heard all kinds of different, you know, music, like anything from Farron Young to Linda Ronstadt and the Eagles and, you know, everything. It just all day long, it was nothing but music. You just, you turn the TV off and listen to music all day long. And like Roger said, I used to grab little plastic guitars. I'd stand in front of the mirror and act like I was, you know, I was Kiss or somebody like that. You know, everything.
You get the feeling he wanted to be that front man from day one. Back when a kid, didn't
he? For sure.
You know, when and the whole singing thing come along, and it was, I wanted to do something that was going to get me the attention, just like you said. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, I would have sang the ABCs if I, with a rubber chicken on my head if I know the girls are going to pay attention.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah. Let's get to the point here.
We're going
to
have a rubber chicken in the Brahma Saturday night if y'all come around now. So.
All right. I want you to share the story. Roger talked about guitars and stuff that you told us the other night about that bass guitar, man.
All right. Well, so when I was in high school, I was probably a sophomore in high school, and I wanted to be a rock star so bad I couldn't stand it. Yeah. I mean, I realized real quick that all the really good looking girls, they like those rock and roll guys with the long hair.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I couldn't have the long hair.
Right, right.
So I knew I couldn't play guitar. Mm-hmm. I mean, and my fingers just wouldn't let me do it, and I just was not, didn't have the patience to learn.
When you say guitar, you mean like
a regular six string. Yeah, right. So I got to thinking about it, and I said, you know what? I said, that bass guitar, that's one note at a time.
Yeah.
I said, I can do that.
Right.
So
you're making all the bass players mad.
That's right. Anybody can play the bass. Look. But so I had a buddy of mine, and he said, hey, man, I'm selling my bass. And I said, how much? He said, $20.
Yeah.
And I said, it's sold. So I went and asked my dad for some money. He gave me the money, and he goes, well, what are you going to go buy? I said, I'm going to go buy a bass for $20.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah. And he goes, that's not going to be much of a bass, but here's your $20.
Right.
So I went and bought the bass guitar, and I started plucking around on it. Well, I needed an amplifier, you know, obviously.
Yeah.
And my sister was in a rock band, and her bass player was looking to buy a new bass rig for his setup.
Right.
And so he said, I got a bass amp that you can buy.
Right.
And I said, well, how much? He said, $200.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right. So I went and asked my dad. I was going to clean me out. Right. So I went and asked my dad. I said, hey, I need my money. He says, what are you going to buy now? I said, I'm going to buy a bass amp.
Yeah.
He goes, all right, I'm going to teach you a lesson.
Right.
So he handed me my $200. The guy taught me a song in about 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. I came home with it, started playing that song in that basement. My dad goes, are you playing that thing? Yeah. I was like, yeah, listen to this. And I was on my way.
Right, right, right.
So, yeah, so when we were at, and I was at school one day, and these guys were like, hey, we're going to start a rock band to be in the talent show.
Right.
And I said, yeah. And they said, you're a bass player. And I said, well, I got one.
Right. Big difference.
Yeah. And they said, well, never mind, you know. But I told the guy, hey, as long as you show me the bass line, I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how basically I just went from there with everything. Taught myself how to play the acoustic, you know, because I wanted to be a singer.
Yeah.
You know, the whole Garth Brooks thing back in the 90s, that really set me off as far as wanting to be something, you know, so, and that's where I started.
All right. Now, before we take this break, I want to ask you fellas, We'll start with Roger. First song you ever sang in public?
Oh, man, I can't remember.
Was it in church?
No, no.
Back porch?
Probably at home. I remember I got a record player one year for my birthday, and they bought me my own records, little 45s. And I think it was The Gambler. Uh-huh. I think my dad playing an acoustic guitar, because I think that's the first record they get me with the record player. Right. Mom and Dad probably got tired of hearing it, you know. But I remember my dad coming up, you know, he playing the guitar, sing that song, and I didn't even want to do it. I think we were in our living room, you know, and I was bashful and never really, you know, wanted to aspire to be a singer and just wanted to play. But, you know, I sing a few now, but we leave that to him.
Yeah, I hear. How about you, Chris? First song you ever sang in public?
Well,
you remember.
I'm going to say that, you know, when I was a kid.
No matter what song it is, man.
Yeah, I mean, when I was a kid, I didn't like to get up in front of the family or anything. I was shy, you know.
You?
Yes,
really?
I was shy.
Oh, man.
I just, you know, I didn't want to sing in front of anybody. Right. But really, to tell you the truth, the first time I actually got up and sang in front of people, I was probably 26 or 25 years old, maybe. And a guy that I was with, he was in a karaoke contest, and he said, you know, you can sing that song. I was singing The Dance. So that's what I did. I got up and sang The Dance in a karaoke contest and won the thing.
Wow.
So the first time I ever sang in front of people, I won a karaoke contest.
Yeah.
So.
Good deal. All right, we're going to take a short break. We'll be going to pay a few bills. And we're going to come back, and these boys are going to pick a few and sing a little bit. You're listening to Billy's Back Porch, second episode. We will also be downloading or uploading this onto our website. We'll be able to hear it after the show is over. I want to thank Roger and Chris for coming by, and we'll be right back in just a couple of minutes. And welcome back to Billy's Back Porch, the second episode with Roger and Chris from the band Saddle Tramp. Now, boys, I remember years ago, or maybe a couple of years ago, I'd say y'all see y'all's name on the marquee down at Paradigm and Grill. So y'all played there before, and when you're not playing with a band, you'll do some playing with acoustics. Now, and tell us how this works. I mean, as far as the two of you doing that kind of deal. Go ahead.
Well, we just set our stuff up, and we just play our, you know, we just do all pretty much all the same stuff that we sing that, you know, during with the whole band.
Right.
We'll play just acoustically, and then we'll throw stuff out there that we don't do with the band.
Right.
And it's a lot of fun because you can get real personal with the people, and they can throw out songs like we don't even know.
Yeah.
And we'll just start framing on the strings, and if they, I don't know the words, we'll call out to somebody else and say, hey, you know, you know, you sing it for a while, you know, whatever.
Now, so folks that don't know how the structure of a amplified acoustics work with two people, are one of you playing lead and one of you playing rhythm, or both playing? Is that how it works usually?
Yeah, we'll be both playing rhythm, you know, during, you know, some of the song, and then he runs into the lead breaks, and I just chunk on the rhythm
because
that's about all I can do.
Now, when you're in the band, you're playing electric, you're playing flat acoustics. Is that right?
Yes.
You're playing lead in the band. Is that how it works?
Yep.
I mean, most bands from what I can remember, you got a drum set, trap set rather, or kit. You got a bass player. You've got a lead guitar player and a rhythm guitar player. It's a bonus if you have a keyboard player. That adds so much to it.
Absolutely.
And then some, and that's usually if I'm not mistaken, did I get five people in there? That's a five piece. That's that's normally all the instrument covered. A lot of folks, because the keyboard player is just rare, you know, get people. Would you agree? They're rare to find them. So when you get a good one, somebody that can sit back here and add to that, it's all about playing all those different notes in a chord, folks. For those folks who don't know how it works, man, you got in a C chord, you got C, E, and G. You got the bass playing the C, somebody else playing the E, somebody else playing the G. It also goes when you're singing. Somebody singing lead, somebody singing harmony. Y'all do that a lot too, right?
I try to throw the harmony.
That's not easy. It's not easy.
It's not.
I mean, I will go back to me, the Statler Brothers, the Oak Ridge Boys, Huey Lewis in the News. I heard him do Star Spangled Banner acapella. I mean, you're talking about four-part harmony. That's getting into some serious music right there. But most time you got somebody singing the lead part, and you got somebody harmonizing a little bit. But you know, and y'all have to work in unison as a unit, man. It's
difficult. Harmony is something to learn. You know, you hear the the Eagles doing Seven Bridges Road.
Oh, man.
You know what I mean? That's just, it's unbelievable.
And there's no instruments helping them at the beginning. It's like you got to get that first
note. Right. And when you got the whole band, mm-hmm. I mean, we can take a 3-minute song and we can turn it into about a 10-minute song. We just keep turning it around.
Yeah. Extended solos, man.
You know, well, them late nights, you just start forgetting the words of them there songs. You go. Like, hey, Roger, take another one.
Yeah. Right, I go through and say, hey, man, I've did every lick in the key of G that I know. We got to end this.
Yeah. Well, before I let y'all play, I want to ask you, who would you say when you were growing up in country influenced you, or maybe your favorite artist? Roger, you mentioned the other night, you always liked the Hag, right?
Yeah, Merle Haggard's my favorite. He was my dad's, and that's the records I grew up strumming along with, you know, Merle Haggard and, you know, all those guys from back in that era, Waylon and Johnny Paycheck and stuff like that, and, you know, till I found some Credence and, you know, that kind of stuff moved me along a little bit more, but yeah. Always Merle Haggard.
How about you, Chris?
As far as country music goes, it has to be the king. It's got to be George Strait. Yeah. I mean, that was the guy, basically, that just got me wanting to do it more and more, you know, when I started listening a lot to George Strait. So
you go wrong with either one of them.
They are. I can tell you, before you take a break, I brought you something here.
Oh, you did?
Keep your Mountain Dew's cold while you're fishing.
Nah, them Bud Lights will go good in there. I have got an official Saddle Tramp koozie. Established 2003. It's, if you go to Saddle Tramp's Facebook page, but it's very similar to the Jack Daniels label. And you got to love it. It's twin guitars overlapped, frets overlapped, 100% pure country music. I appreciate that.
A couple
Saddle Tramp stickers.
They'll be on the window. Eddie laughed at me and says, all your stickers are asymmetrical. I didn't know what the word meant. He said, that means you got them lined up. Did you get a tape measure to level out? Yeah, I did. I'll find a place for that. Thank you, fellas. I appreciate that.
Well, think of us when you're reeling in that 10-pound bass.
Oh, well, now, before we do this, and this is something I asked Wayne before he got in here. The reason we're doing this is to promote local artists, what they're doing, where they're from, and any music they have and their social media platforms, how you can not only find information about the group, but go hear them live. And I want to ask y'all, man, you've done any writing and recording yourself? I'm not recording, but just writing songs of yourself.
Absolutely. I tried, you know, I'm going to say this. I try to write songs, and I'll tell you a little story. In 1996, I believe it was, I got to open a show for David Lee Murphy, and I got to hang out with him for a little bit. And he, you know, he basically took me on his bus and was like, you want all this, don't you?
Yeah.
And I said, yeah. And he goes, no, you don't.
Right.
He said, do you write songs? And I said, I try. He goes, well, you better try harder.
Mm-hmm.
He said, because that's where it's at. He goes, you need to be a songwriter first, man.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, you know, I'll take that to heart. And I tried and tried, and I've come up with some stuff, but I'm always hard on myself, you know, as far as the songs go. But I get a good one every once in a while.
Yeah, he'll get one. He'll show up to a gig we're playing and say, hey, I wrote this last night. It's in G. Y'all get ready. 1, 2, 3, and that's it. Better hang on, because he's off to the races.
Yeah. That's how it goes, huh? Yeah.
Probably what he's going to do to me now.
But. Okay, all right.
And the bad thing is, when he sees me grab that capo, where are you going now?
For folks, that's a guitar clamp, but tell us what that does.
Well, you know, you can pretty much, I can keep all these first position chords that, you know, for a guy like me that's taught himself, don't know a whole lot of them funky chords that Roger plays.
Right.
I can move that capo up and down that neck and play in any key and play the same chords, so.
It makes me think, you know, I got to follow. He's got a capo on there, and he maybe have a capo on the second fret playing in G, which is really A, and I have to think, you know, don't pay him any attention. Don't watch his hands, cause, you know.
And then you get the singer like me that comes in, well, we're going to tune down a half a step tonight.
Right. And that makes it even worse.
Right.
Tune down half a step with the capo. I don't know.
All right, so what are we doing now, boy?
Well, here's a song I wrote. It's kind of, you know, everybody knows that person that they show up at work and they're all happy and go lucky. They always have a good, you know, they're always in a good mood. They always got a smile on their face, or they're that person, you know, when you go out to the bar or whatever, and they're always there to help everybody. I mean, they will give you their shirt off their back. But what people don't see is sometimes when they go home and they get alone, now they got problems too. You know what I'm saying? So I wrote a song. And the influence from this song was from my my girlfriend, Nikki White. And, you know, she's had some, like everybody, she's had some issues. And she was talking about it one day, and she breaks down sometimes. And then she's that type of person that just wipes her eyes off, gets back up, and keeps on going. And you wouldn't know that, you know, that she's got these problems, you know, just like everybody.
Yep.
So I wrote this song for her.
What's it called?
It's called Sometimes She Cries.
Okay.
She's a sunrise in your morning. She's an early sparrow song. She's the first strong cup of coffee. She's a dew out on the lawn. She gets everybody going with a sparkle in her eye. But you don't know when she's all alone in the middle of the night. Sometimes she cries. Sometimes she comes unwound. Sometimes she bows her head on bended knee with the shades pulled down. And then she prays to God for better days. She gets back on her feet and dries her eyes. But sometimes she cries. She got friends there at the office. She'll always notice for some reason they're feeling a little down. So she fills them with some laughter. And the moments after those bad days are nowhere to be found. But sometimes she cries. Sometimes she comes unwound. Sometimes she bows her head on bended knee with the shades pulled down. And then she prays to God for better days. She gets back on her feet and dries her eyes. But sometimes she cries. But she's alive at every party. She gets everything started. She's everybody's guaranteed good time. But sometimes she cries. Sometimes she comes unwell. Sometimes she bows her head on bended knee with the shades pulled down. And then she prays to God for better days. She gets back on her feet and dries her eyes. But sometimes she cries. But sometimes she cries.
Awesome, guys. That's sweet, man. That is sweet.
I think we've only done that two or three times.
Really?
Maybe.
Yeah, when we play that, we played a couple times live. Like he said, I go out there and throw a curveball at him. And the few times that we've done it, people are like, hey, do that song that you wrote.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that makes me feel good, but I'm still hard on myself. So
hey, I think most of us are our own worst critic, man. I like to use the term, we strive for perfection and settle for excellence. Because nobody's perfect.
Right.
We try to be perfect. I'm okay with being excellent. Somebody says, man, you did pretty good. I'm like, all right. You didn't do all bad.
Yeah.
Because nobody's going to say, well, that was perfect. No, nobody's perfect in this world. We all have imperfect things that happen every single day. But I love her attitude because that's the way I am. People think, oh, man, Billy Dean, you come in here 4 hours a day. You're all up, jumping. You know, I've been through a divorce in radio. I've been through struggles in life, man. I've been check to check, you know, trying to make that truck payment after busting, doing my thing. But when I come in here, it's like y'all on stage. You know, you're not there to tell anybody about your problems.
Right.
You know, I'm not here to tell anybody about my problems. But when you perform and somebody comes up to you and says, hey, man, I want to thank you for playing that. You know, that's one of my favorite songs. Or, you know, I grew up listening to those artists. And it's the impact. It's the greatest thing about music. You can impact so many people, whether it's in the words, the lyrics, the harmonies, the instrumentals, the way you convey that message. And that's a great thing about a song. It's a story of of somebody's life or something that happened. That's the great thing about, to me, country music.
Right.
You know, you get two verses and a chorus and a bridge, man. Let's roll with it. But
that's it.
Three chords. Keep it short. Three chords and the truth, right?
Yeah, that's it. That's a book by Tanya Tucker.
Oh, yeah.
All right, we're gonna take a short break, and we'll come back, and we're going to let y'all pick again. And we're going to talk some more here in just a minute. Right. But I appreciate you fellas coming by. We'll be right back with more of Billy's Back Porch with Roger and Chris just a minute. By the way, we will be downloading this on our website just as soon as we can. It'll probably be Monday. We'll get to it and let you know as soon as we get that done. Now, I want to ask you, when you're out with the band, man, what's you get a lot of requests, all right?
Yeah.
And you get a lot of, you said 100% country music, but I'm sure you play a little Southern rock, some other stuff, and this, that, and the other.
Heck, we can do some Prince.
Oh, yeah. Purple Rain. Yeah.
We actually throw Purple Rain in there with
He Stopped Loving Her Today.
So we kind of mix George Jones and Prince, probably the only ones.
Yeah, so if you want to see that, make sure you come to the Brahma Bull.
For a four-hour set, that's a lot of tunes. All right, a lot of songs. So I want to ask you something I like to ask a lot of folks who are in bands. All right. How the hell do you remember all the words?
You don't.
All right, now, good point. All right, I have had the privilege and opportunity of getting up with Wayne. And if it wasn't for the phone and going to lyrics and pulling them up on my phone, I'll look at him. And I have sang Long Haired Country Boy with bands for 40 years. I started doing it in the late 70s back in Immokalee. And for some reason, I'm gonna forget that third verse, but I try to remember the first words in the lyrics. But because you think about the library, Phil Eddy's comes to mind. Yeah. The thousands of songs he's got up there in that noggin, man. But you know, you say you don't, but got your cheat sheet or something. Or once you get into it, then it starts coming.
I think that's what it is. That like you said, that first word.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes he'll forget the verse coming, and I'll lean over to him and tell him the first two words, you know. Mm-hmm. Oh, all right, I got it, you know.
Yeah. Or, you know, I'll just take the first verse and sing it over again, I'll take words from two different verses and smash and make moans on them.
Nothing wrong with that.
Sing the chorus or give the guys a nod to play around or something, you know. Mm-hmm. We get through it. Most people don't know, you know. They really don't, you know, unless it's a slow song and they're out there belly rubbing, they look at you a little funny.
Now, as far as a set, How long is your sets usually?
About 45 minutes.
45 minutes, all right? You usually break for 10 to 15.
Or 30.
Exactly.
Depends on who you ask.
Now, this is Saturday night. You said you're at the Brahma. I see y'all on the marquee quite a bit. You'll be playing from 9 to 1, is that right?
That's correct.
So I want to invite everybody to come out because a lot of folks hadn't heard or seen you. I know I've seen on your Facebook page you played at the Eagles and you played at the Big Brothers Big Sisters benefit. I know they really enjoyed that. And y'all, like the second year in a row,
we had a good time doing
things like that. As far as booking y'all for something, man, you know, they can go to your Facebook page. I'll be more than happy to give out numbers or how they can get in touch with you. Whoever's in charge of doing the booking, you mentioned your boss man earlier, as far as the leader of the group that handles that.
Right.
We can throw that information out because this is kind of like our swan song here. We got about 10 minutes to roll here, so we want to make sure and get any information out there that folks can contact you and so forth.
I think you can get on our Facebook page I'm not sure if any of our phone numbers. I think Greg's phone number may be listed on there.
Okay.
Maybe hit us a message on the Facebook page.
Okay. Probably the best way to do it. Say, hey, I heard you on the radio.
Right.
Or better yet, come see us live.
There you go.
Come see us live and write the number down. Yeah. We'll give it to you.
Yeah, we'll give people cards. We have some cards and stuff like that.
You do have some?
Yeah. I don't know if I have it.
Hook me up with some.
We'll get some. And then, also get Greg Douglas on his Facebook page.
Okay.
Right.
And, you know, maybe send him a message or something.
That one
or if you don't know, you know, if you happen to know one of the other guys in the band, you know, hit him up on Facebook or whatever. But so, like you say, that's social media. It's hard to keep up with, we're working. And so.
Before I forget, though, you served in the military. What branch?
I was in the United States Marine Corps.
Marine Corps. Thank you for your service.
You're welcome.
All right. Roger, I want to thank. And I met Roger years ago over at Catfish's place. That's Eddie Lehman.
Yeah.
I want to thank him for allowing you to come on this morning.
Well, you know what? They're very lenient, you know, with me as far as sometimes I have to leave early where we're playing, if we're playing out of town or something. So Beth and Eddie, very, very, you know, and they know it's important to me. So I don't know if that's a shameless plug or not, boss.
Hey, no. We're going to do that. That's one reason I wanted to make sure and do that. And I do know, too, man, that you've got to have if you're in a relationship, you got to have a strong supporter
to allow you
to do what you do, which is your passion.
Right.
You know, and your significant other, her name is?
Deanna.
And you mentioned Nikki earlier, right?
Nikki, yes.
We want to thank both of them for supporting your passion, my friend. Make sure you give that out there, all right?
Yeah. And that means a lot, man. Yeah. I'm telling you, it's because both of us have been on the other side of that. And it's no fun, you know what I mean? So,
all right. Before we pick, I do want to ask you, let's go back a little history, man. Now, you've been in Okeechobee, you said, since what, 87?
87, yeah.
And you were 97, right?
97.
All right. First honky-tonk or first watering hole you played at here in Okeechobee. You remember?
Yeah, I want to say it was Barlow's.
Where was Barlow?
Barlow's, way down on 441 South, south of 15A. It's not there anymore. The building's gone. I think Barney Durbin, Larry Madison had a band called Old Habits, and they used to play down there pretty regular. So probably Barlow's.
And you were also a member of Bo's band back in the day, Hard Living. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, Bo played together for, I don't know, it's 10 or 12 years. You know,
and
a long
talk
time.
About a singer.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, I love talking about, some Bo Glover.
Now, when you talk about knowing songs, there's another one. 500 songs in his head and you know, just... Good musician. A lot of good musicians around Okeechobee.
A whole bunch. People. That's the reason I wanted to do
this. That's it.
Man.
I mean, you can't do this without mentioning, you've already mentioned it, Phil Eddings. Yeah. You can't do this without saying something about Timmy Bass, you know?
Yeah. And his son, Michael, used to be our drummer. You know, work took him out of town. He's up in Georgia doing the produce broken, I think, is what it is. And so he played with us. And like I said, Skip Eddings.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Bo Glover, all those guys. A lot of talent in Okeechobee.
Yeah. I remember when I was spinning CDs at Butch's back in 07. Kevin asked me, he said, I want to do just kind of a little DJ party, man. I don't want karaoke. Just want you to come here and play some tunes for a few hours. Well, 3 years later, every Friday night from 8 till midnight, I'd go down there to spin my music. This play request, no karaoke. And I went from country, southern rock, you name it. I'd take them through. That last hour was the tummy rubbing tunes for, you know, guys trying to hook up. You know, I knew that was coming. Here's $10, man. Play Don't Close Your Eyes. You know, this, that, and the other. I'm sure y'all get that
all the
too.
Time.
But first place you played in Okeechobee, Chris?
First place I played, I was doing a thing by myself. And I was playing right down there in the corner at Cahoots. I sang the tracks, and I would do like one set on the acoustic. And that was where I got my start in Okeechobee.
Yeah. And then people don't realize, man, I mentioned this to the boys the other night. We were having a couple of cold ones. There's a few places in town that still have live bands every weekend. Back in the day, you could pick at least six. And it's a dying breed that more watering holes don't have live music. And, and there are so many here in Okeechobee. Compared to the rest of the nation, man, I would say that that tradition has been kept alive by these people who own these places and allow y'all to come in and entertain folks. And you know, Fridays, Saturdays, Sundays is usually, you know, the busiest nights of the week,
right? And you can't do, like I said, you can't do this without thanking those people. I mean, you got Teresa Frost and you know, Courtney at the Brahma Bull, the whole staff down there, Lisa Glover, Bo's wife. I mean, these people just support us and all these other bands. I mean, like, you know, they take us in and they let us play, they let us do our thing. You know,
well, so kind of way we got at Parrot Island with You know, Patty and Anita got us in there, and you know, having a little problem now with the employment thing, you know, having enough employees to cover the kitchen when we're playing. So,
but we really enjoy doing that. I mean, that's like sitting around a campfire, you know. So,
all right, what are we playing next, man?
What are we gonna do?
I think we're gonna do
one of those Haggard songs.
All right, let's do a Haggard song. All right, go ahead.
Let me move back a little bit.
Which one is it? Go ahead, tell me before you hit the score.
Makeup and Faded Blue Jeans.
Oh, wow. All right.
You ready?
Ready. But in downtown Modesto, I was working the Holiday Inn. I was set with a gig that would last us throughout the weekend. I was singing a new song I wrote on my way into town. When she came through the front door, she found her place to sit down. Well, I knew right away she liked the words to my song. Cause she stared at my big guitar and she followed my fingers too long. And she had the likeness of a girl I'd seen in a dream. Because lights can do wonders with makeup and faded blue jeans. And the last thing I needed was somebody messing up my mind. Cause I had 100 reasons for turning away one more time. Yes, she could cause me to sing bad, fall out of love with guitar. Blow all my chances at being a big singing star. I'll pick me some rock. She got to looking better as she got down closer to the stage. And as she sipped on the wine, I could tell just the kind she would be. And somehow I knew she was here to do bad things to me. And the last thing I needed was somebody messing up my mind. No, I had 100 reasons for turning her way one more time. Yes, she could cause me to sing bad, fall out of love with guitar. And blow all my chances at being a big singing star. Yes, she could cause me to sing bad, fall out of love with guitar. And blow all my chances at being a country music star.
That's awesome, guys. That's awesome. That's sweet. Hey, before I get out of here, I want to give props to somebody we talked about outside a little bit who was one of my guests on the first one, Mitch Markham.
Absolutely.
And for a lot of folks know Mitch from coaching baseball, and that's how you met him. But he's got his own studio over in Buckhead Ridge, and he's plucking a little bit and picking a little bit. But he just loved being around the music scene and getting this thing down pretty good, man, as far as laying down tracks and stuff. And
absolutely. If he's your go-to guy, you know, yeah. If you're an aspiring artist right now, uh-huh. Here in Okeechobee, and you want to record something,
yeah.
Go talk to Mitch. Yeah. I'll give you his number. Just start burning his phone up.
Yeah. He won't answer it at night.
He's going to practice on it. It might not sound good, but he's going to practice on it.
He's going to get her done.
He'll get it done for sure.
All right. Anything in close? First of all, thank you folks for coming by. I do appreciate it.
Enjoyed it, man.
It was fun.
Yeah. It was fun.
This was definitely a first.
Yeah. Anything we forgot we need to throw out there?
No.
Come see him Saturday night.
Come see us at the Brahma Bull.
9-1.
We accept beer, tips, and all that stuff.
Yeah. There you go.
Gas money to get home, man.
Yeah. Well, guys, Matt, once again, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
We appreciate you.
Oh, we thank you very much for having us here.
Yeah. Well, one day you'll be household like old Billy Nee. No. I did just fling that out there. Good deal. But all right. We're gonna pay a few bills. We'll get back to playing some Grandpa Jones in our final song, Johnny Cash Orange Blossom Special. But as we said, we'll get this uploaded. Thank you very much once again, man. And I hope everybody listening nationwide, whether it's on our app or the website, enjoyed it today, man. And Billy's Back Porch Episode 2, Roger and Chris with Saddle Tramp, as we mentioned. We'll get the number of the fellas that book your band and get you out there and help you publicize your music any way we can, guys.
We appreciate it.
We do. We'll be right back to wrap up our show in just a minute.